Colleagues from the Lambe are from the budget committee, am I right? Yes, they're from the budget committee in the Lambe. We are a budget committee with a different name. We are called the Standing Committee on Appropriation. Yes, colleagues. We'll go to detail how we work. My colleagues, you think you will bear with me? Apparently, I think there was a communication breakdown from the side of the speaker's office for the visit. I think that let's welcome the colleague from the Mambo. Maybe I should introduce all the members here. The member on my extreme right here, next to you, is Dr. Rabi. Next to Dr. Rabi from the Democratic Alliance. Next to Dr. Rabi is Honorable Swart, also from the Democratic Alliance. On my extreme left, at the corner, the lady who's playing with papers, the young lady there at the corner there, is Honorable Ngobo of the African National Congress. Next to her, Honorable Nkulisi from the ANC, Honorable Sadaflon from the ANC, Honorable Grant from the ANC. My name is Mshie Ntokoni. I chair the committee. I also come from the meeting from the ANC. Next to me, it's Mrs. Castle, who is the committee secretary. We have the support of the researchers behind us, Mr. Nyeniso and Mr. Lomo. They both support the committee. We're visitors from parliamentary groups. Parliamentary monitoring group. Maybe you can introduce your delegation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. My name is Honorable Fadi Shanda. I'm the chairperson of the Budget, Finance and Investment Commission. I come from, I'm MP from Valentia. My colleague here is the Honorable Tatiwa Mashakaga. He is the chairperson of the Public Accounts Committee. He happens to be a member again of the Budget and Finance Committee. He is a member of the MDCC. Next to him is the Mr. Austin Roma. He is the Clerk of Parliament.
He is the
Clerk of Parliament.
Ah, okay.
In fact, the director is the Administrator of Parliament.
Okay.
Next to him is the Rongai Chizema. He is the Financial Support Trust. is a partner with the Zimbabwe Parliament. They are partners with the Zimbabwe Parliament in terms of providing their support to Zimbabwe Parliament and the committee. Next to behind him is the municipal project. Male Tere is a researcher with the Parliament of Zimbabwe. And
you've got colleagues here behind me.
I'm sure they are going to interact.
You can have a body tonight.
Next to him again, Mr. Shomanika. He works with Mr. Tungai system in the staff.
Okay. Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Chairperson.
I forgot to say, Chairperson, but I must thank you for making me sit next to the young man.
Yes, thank you. No, it's fine. It's just to say that, you know, today, I mean, this time of the year in Parliament is a very busy time. Parliament is about to rise, and all the committees are meeting. We're meeting in a small committee room, but I'm sure you'll bear with us. Maybe you've been to bigger committees. I also appreciate the fact that there's a member from the Republic account.
Yes, yes.
Scopa, you call it Scopa as well.
I want to, for you to be familiar what you call it here.
Okay.
It's simply called it public account for me.
Public account, so okay. Sorry?
I think you want a Scopa for?
Were you there?
Yes.
At the conference?
Yes.
You were? Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I remember. I remember the speech as well. Now,
do you
have the patent? No, what has happened, they have been to...
No, I was looking at the public finance.
Yeah, because it's... Well, we are also developing our public finance bill. Huh? We are trying to follow what you
have. Okay, so there are two members of parliament.
Yes.
Yes, okay, accompanied by officials. Well, my colleague, Honorable Randa, am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, how we function here, I'm sure you've already been briefed about the number of committees that we have. For not Mashagaga, luckily that can some people here that are recognizing his face at the conference.
On your speech.
Yes. That's good. So, we have the finance cluster, what we can refer to as a finance cluster. There's a standing committee on finance. There's a standing committee on appropriation, which is good. There's a budget committee. So with us, there's a difference between the standing committee on finance and the standing committee on appropriation. I will give you, we'll organize two pieces of legislation that establishes this committee. The finance, the standing committee on finance deals with macro, mainly macroeconomic, what we call it, issue, and the fiscal framework. You'll organize for us. You'll organize? Okay. Yeah. Two or three. As much as we can. So I was saying the standing committee on finance then deals with the macroeconomic framework. And the fiscal framework. then the Tenant Committee on Appropriation is the one that deals with issues of mainly spending. We are established by a law called the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act. That was enacted only earlier this year. But before the existence of these two committees, we were operating as the Portfolio Committee on Finance, and the other one was the Joint Budget Committee. The Joint Budget Committee was a combination of committees of both houses, the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. So we're dealing with spending matters, mainly the giving of revenue, because South Africa is constituted by a number of provinces, each one having their own legislative authority. Now, the division of revenue bill is the one that divides, allocates appropriate between the different tiers of government as to local government. Then we have the appropriation bill. Well, normal appropriation bill during the budget time. Later on, there may be at times a supplementary appropriation bill if there are things that are happening. Then later on now, we'll be debating this afternoon your adjustment appropriation bill. So that's what we, this committee is dealing with. We deal with monitoring the expenditure by looking at the quarterly report of each national department. But the members are here, they will help me. But I think the main thing is really looking at those quarterly reports. I think it looks as simple as we say monitoring justice the quarterly reports, because there's more work that really this committee goes through. I mean, this committee still is. I will not deal with the finance side, because I see that there's a combination of finance, but they deal with matters like the Reserve Bank, or legislation that's probably related to issues of finance generally. What happens is that on the 27th of October, the Minister of Finance introduced your adjustment budget and the medium term budget policy statement. The medium-term budget policy statement is just the one that says this is how the economic situation is, and this is how in the next, what you call it, the budget is broadly going to look like. Our budget here is a three-year cycle. It's called the medium-term expenditure framework, the policy MTF. So today, as you're joining us, we're busy with a quarterly report of the departments that we had invited. In fact, at the end of that piece of legislation that you have in there, the Public Finance Management Act, requires that departments and those entities that are government entities, whether it's SAA or whatever you call them, every month they must provide financial report. But the Parliament, we can't look and monitor them every month. We really do not have that capacity. There's more work for parliamentarians than for the. So we look at them quarterly. So that is what we deal with now. I don't know, before you come in, if other members would like to add something. Okay. Then we are in your hands.
Thank you, thank you, honorable members. Let me begin by thanking you, Chairperson of the committee, on behalf of the government delegation, for spending time to be with us and inviting you as your committee. We are on a fast-finding mission as well, trying to also look at the cross-pollinate what we do and what the other do is. And as they are aware, we are also confused with the fact that accountability is important. And they are particularly anything more in making sure that there is accountability in general with the executive. We and myself and my colleagues have already formed the cluster. Whilst we don't have clusters in the province, that we have already formed the cluster because of the way we interlink and the way we work, particularly ourselves. We do have joint meetings on budget and finance, and this is very well placed. And I must say on the onset that the way we work as a committee, besides that we come from different parties, but we have never allowed the party politics to play any role. We simply preoccupied with the professional way of looking at how the event can be accountable to the party and the working well. And as you say, we don't have a committee on our profession at all. It's part of the budget finance, but once the money has been approved, then it has been passed on to the right ministry, in terms of the baby of my colleague in terms of accountability at the end of the day. And we also face some that the they don't want to be accountable to parliament, but the under our spending rules for parliament, really the committees are empowered to call any body to come and account for his or her action, except the president alone. We do give him a 14-day notice to end to the department, and we, through the clerk of parliament, we write to them detailing out what we expect, what we want to know as committees. And the spending rules is not gives us the power to charge a person with his conduct or for the report information through parliament.
Okay.
Yes, they are aware of it. So they come into the appeal before the committees, they are aware of the implications. The investigation should they give us the report information. Before us at the moment, the current parliament, as my colleague has just alluded, we also have the past public finance management deal within parliament. The minister has done a first reading, the procedure in Zimbabwe, the minister did the first reading, and it is referred to the legal committee looking to the legal aspect, whether it does impede on the constitution. Once the legal committee okays it, comes back to parliament for the minister to do a second reading. And once he has done the doing second reading, over the first committee to then lead the debate in parliament, in order to respond to the appropriateness of the deal. That is what we do. And we have, that's why we also have at the moment currently sitting in parliament, we have got the auditor. Office team, which is to strengthen the auditor general of the also better that what we have, because that we the situation in Zimbabwe is quite improving, and we are grateful to our brothers in South Africa for the role that they have played, and the hope for the community to be stabilized.
Thank you, Honorable Sanda.
Thank you.
Arna Sagada.
Thank you. To add what my colleague has just said, it's not of a new marriage, but it's no marriage that's to get here.
Not with not by it.
It's castle marriage. But anyway, it's at the point. Just to emphasize that in Zimbabwe, the budget committee looks at financial bills, the macroeconomic framework, fiscal policy framework, as well as the issue of appropriation. But because we didn't have the Finance Management Act, ministries were not compelled, or departments were not compelled to table their accounts as I see what is before you. But once this bill, which is under consideration, the Public Finance Management Bill becomes an act, I'm sure we also begin to consider the quarterly report from accounting officers or ministries. So I think we are following closely on this model, where you actually consider the quarterly report. We are happy that we are seeing what we are expecting in a few weeks to come. We are already seeing it in practice here. I chair the public accounts committee, which basically was hand in glove with the auditor general, examination of all public accounts. Public expenditures and also property. Our state property is being looked at. So the auditor general tables her report. She's a lady. She tables her report for parliament, and then the public accounts committee takes up those reports by calling the officers who are indicated to come to account to the public accounts committee. And after that, we issue a report before the whole house, where we also proffer recommendations. In fact, we land in other countries like Uganda. I'm sure you're there, the CID, where you found those officials. I don't know whether we can go that route, but I think all options are open. So far, I'm trying to ensure that the executives are held accountable. And we have realized with my colleagues that the two committees, the public accounts and the budget and finance, are almost twin committees.
Yeah.
Because the one committee on finance approves the budget, now it should be up to the other committee to ensure that there's accountability, the transparency in the management and execution of that budget. So, really, we are either twin, so we really work very closely. But more importantly, we are moving into a situation whereby we are considering the issue of the budget office, which will be housed in Parliament, which is going to report to the Public Accounts Committee and the Budget Committee. The idea of the budget office would be to give technical support, macroeconomic analysis, forecasting, budget cycle participation, and so on. So that the two committees and other committee chairpersons are also covered by way of technical support. Because we realize that considering the budget when the minister presents it is not enough.
Sure.
Parliament must also play next to the budget cycle. Right.
in the discussion of the macroeconomic framework, Parliament has to get involved. In the discussion of the macroeconomic assumptions in the budget, Parliament must also have a say in the setting up of national priorities and national goals. Parliament must also be involved. So we are trying to really ensure that the executive doing that force their budget through our throat. We also need to make it complete, above all, to harness stakeholder views or civil society views and make sure that their views are also captured in the budget. So that would be what the budget office will be trying to coordinate. So it will be a liaison between the parliament and various executive arms of government, so that parliament also plays an important role in policy, economic policy formulation, in fiscal policy, monetary policy, and then other government programs and priorities. And we have been told yesterday we attended the Economic Development Committee session.
Okay.
We were told that that all the content is also spending money, bills, related matters, whatever.
Yeah.
Which is also in the making. So one way the budget office will hope we can be able to address that deficit, that information gap, that capacity gap, that exists, so that the country committee can be empowered. So we have also come here to see how what your committee's views would be on such kind of things. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think that what you say, both of you, is very interesting, and now you're reminding me of, or reminding us of something about the budget committee, but I'm sure colleagues will comment on that. Colleagues, any questions? I don't know. Let me just first welcome Honorable Ramatagane. He's a member of Congress of the people. I'm not sure whether I should say the child of the NC. But he did indicate to us that he will join us late. As I indicated earlier, that the traffic this morning was, I'm sure you saw yourself.
Mr. Chairman, I see my colleague.
Okay.
But I had one question. In terms of the quarterly report that you talked about,
yeah. That's
a slight correction. We have no understanding that we have this kind of management system. But there was no extra funding.
Okay.
And in that time, it's based on the revised state budget and revised state management with the performance of the integrated performance management system. The executive requires every ministry to submit quarterly reports. Now, from our portfolio committee, each portfolio committee would present the performance integrated performance report on a quarterly basis, because the education will look at what the education ministry says. My question is, in your case, do the reports only come to the appropriations committee, or do they go to the relevant portfolio of the committee?
That's a very important question.
My colleague will catch up, but I was interested in that.
Now, let me just quickly address it before you go. I think, you know, that question is a very interesting question that also I might say that we have not yet resolved it. But how it works, the quarterly reports are prepared by the Department of Finance, by Treasury. So obviously from Treasury they come to us, And is this committee that processes those reports? What we're trying to do on a voluntary, what you call a situation, is to invite, to try to invite the portfolio committees. But I must be honest with you that we have not yet synchronized our system such that portfolio committees are able to come. Because what we have been discussing with colleagues is that when we deal with this quarterly report, if we have to look at the expenditure of the Department of Education, for example, we must be able to invite colleagues from the portfolio committee to come. It's not about the quality situation. We're not there yet. Sometimes people would voluntarily send one person or even a staff member of that particular committee. It's not in the rules yet, but that is what we're trying to work towards. That must be in the rules, because we get a lot of information at this committee. You can imagine. Okay, this committee gets a lot of information because all the departments report to it. Even if we want to follow up, we cannot follow up in all the departments. That's why I'm saying this question is a very important question. Thank you very much. Honorable Ramachandran.
Thank you.
Can you start? Okay, but finally, then please come to the question. To what is the situation with us with respect to the budget? Okay. When you start.
Okay. I just wanted to ask this question of the budget office. The element in the process of running the budget office. That's to information about the literature, the role of the budget office, which is a very, very complicated research capacity. This one is a research capacity for independent viewpoint on the talent itself. And I want to ask another question in relation to the Parliament wanting to play a central role in the formulation of the budget, including co-owning the assumptions, because the assumptions that project this and this and GDP, and therefore we will provide this and that. I just want to ask this question. In terms of your own view and executive function and parliament function, don't you have no concern of a co-ownership in the process of budgeting before you even get to you as parliament as an independent body, so to speak? Because the budget committee, in my understanding, could well be quite powerful structure to you to pull government to the accountability and the realization of different goals that they may not see. So the centrality of your message processes, don't you think that it may pull the teeth of the committee itself Mr. Fatabad and Mr. Fred. Don't you think the co-ownership from the title right up to the approval limits the independent role and independence of Parliament itself? I just want to answer that question because I may see the danger in it, because basically there is a or maybe there's no danger because there is a government of national unity and therefore there is a co-ownership. But in a normal system of parliament as oversight, it may just be very that the constitution vote. So I just want to understand that from your perspective. Including that issue I asked earlier on about the role of the Department of Foreign Service, the research capacity that you're bringing into in order that you are able to check on governments on your own country.
In fact, Honorable Chairperson, if I may add, before I think the Honorable Member didn't want to come to this. We had this question, but he doesn't want to come to this area. But in our constitution, really creates this separation of power. Executive is there. Parliament must do oversight over the executive. I think has then the question that we want to spread it both sides. We want to do oversight, we want to be part of the question that separation. In fact, with us, in terms of that legislation, clause 15 of that legislation that we have just been given, it also envisages the establishment of the budget council. We have not yet established.
Thank you, Chairperson. How difficult it is, and I also give the opportunity for my colleague to add on to what I would have missed. Also a member of the Budget and Finance Committee. We have the same setup in Zimbabwe in terms of the Budget Office, the Budget Committee, overseeing the Ministry of Finance and the Economic Planning. As a committee in Zimbabwe, we are served by a committee member and the head section. And I must say, we are understaffed, particularly when it comes to expert analysis and taking balance. And therefore, we then do rely on partners, on our partners who are outside, who are not part of Parliament, who are donor funded, like our colleagues, to undertake certain research and undertake in. Certain consultative work in the process. Under our new parliamentary reform process, it requires the parliament to get involved in the budget formulation, in terms of input in the budget formulation, by way of also having consultative meetings with the general stakeholders, i.e., the Confederation of Labour Industries, i.e., the Chamber of Mines, ECC. The economic player in the country as to what they expect the budget to contain in order to drive the economy forward. Rather than nine out of ten, once you allow the process to take place and the budget is intact, then it becomes difficult to rewind it and to encumber certain views. But for us as the Budget and Finance Committee, we are the interface between Parliament and the various ministries and the stakeholders. Therefore, the Parliament has to undertake that the communication between us and the stakeholders and make an input into the budget formulation. That's what the situation is in the government. And we, the reason why we want the budget is to have an institution which is properly funded, where it is properly resolved in terms of human resource element, experts who will provide the critical analysis of the budget for the committee. We are all part-time members of parliament and very different setup home with your situation here. And therefore, we decided that we also desire to give up the necessary backup and information and the research work, so that when we look at the budget itself, proposal, or when we debate the issues in parliament, we have enough information as to the shortcomings and and all the relevant information as to information. So that is the reason why we are looking at the budget office. Not only to give a backup to the budget the finance committee, but to also deal with the budget for other committees, portfolio committees, in relation to their ministries and information as well. So that at least, again, we do bring in this analysis to the benefit. There will still be totally separation of power. The budget office will not be providing information or backup to the ministry itself. No, it will be basically to the committee. And when you say, obviously, the parliament is the one which is requiring the budget office. Yet, in a way, we as the committee have seen the need for that. And therefore, we must stimulate and the desire for it. I.e., in Uganda, the budget office is through a bill, and it was done by a private member state. So, our situation, we are also looking at how best we bring this into office. We're deliberating on probably if we can include it in the public finance management review, which is currently under parliament, because as you are aware that the office will strengthen our capacity as a committee in oversight way, getting the expenses to be accountable. And I understand when you have that situation, the expenses will be also a bit naive in wanting to propose the office to be there. We think it will provide the necessary human resource that we make use of as a community.
And to add quickly, the whole idea of the committee being interested in the budget cycle is to try and call it demystify the budget.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, the minister comes to the house. Home and ceremony, everything, and the members don't really understand
sure. What
this animal is called. So you want to unpack it to demystify it, because it is meant for the people.
Yeah.
And parliament, lawmakers represent the people.
Absolutely.
So the people's views and public participation is necessary in terms of their input into the budget, and through their representatives, their elected representatives, which was the MP. That's where we come in as the committee, and we view oversight in two respects. We can be reactive, that's way for the budget to be careful, or we can also be proactive, to try to strengthen the budget making process. Without inserting the power of the executive, of course. We are all conscious of the supernatural power. So, in order to promote accountability and transparency and good governance, we feel Parliament as an elected representative of the people must play a role in the budget making process. We don't deal with the figures and the statistics, no. We deal with principles. We deal with the framework, the principles, the national priorities, and also. Capture the stakeholder view. What does labor say? What does consultant think about the budget? What does the consideration of business think about this budget? What does people try to think about this budget? And so then we analyze those views and say, this is what the people want you to address. If you know it, well, it's up to you, but this is the expectation of the people. in the budget. By so doing, we are complimenting each other to promote good governance. But mind you, the budget is going to be passed as a finance bill, an appropriation bill.
Sure.
So like in any other bill, you need public participation. Because it's a law, it's a bill. That is going to be presented in public. And our experts can also just summarize the sort of check time on that, but we think it's important.
Thank you, Chairman. I think international best practice is now emphasizing so poor development policy. The global financial crisis is a clear indication of capitalism for the neoliberal economy and social dynamics. But I think the challenge then comes when accountability says where was Parliament when the global economic crisis came in and hit all these countries. And the challenge we're facing is that all developing countries have been hard hit compared to the international big players. So what is now happening in development economies is to emphasize accountability, transparency, shared growth models. And that puts pressure on Parliament to ensure public participation in development economics. And we think, looking across the economic divide, and more importantly in sub-Saharan Africa, countries like Kenya, countries like Uganda, they have now embraced what we call participatory budgeting model, where you are now trying to embrace all the interests of stakeholders from grassroots at the district level and take all the views all the way up to the executive. Now, for you to be able to have that capacity, you now need an institutional system which can have time to absorb and pick up all that information on the system. Now, if you look at the concept of the budget office and you look at the Congress system in America, and you look at the Philippines, you look at Afghanistan, you look at Canada, the setup they have is they realize that the legislature doesn't even have time to look at budget, expenditure, and even all the laws which then are part of coming up with the national budget. Now the budget office comes in as an extra hand to assist the legislature understand critically what goes on in the executive. It's there as an extra tip to assist them to have more bigger eyes to then see whatever passes through Parliament. Because even if there's any law which involves expenditure, development policy, they can have a better understanding and analysis to put checks and balances. I think in the past, because no one is applying the legislation, laws would simply just pass through Parliament. But now we are advocating for where laws must come in Parliament, considered as amended, or any such adjustment. So the budget office then comes in very critical in that they've got time to sit around, look at all the policies, vet them, then empower the legislature. So that even if the minister brings in a quarterly report, you are now dealing with him on a one-on-one basis. You are not taking away his executive power. You are only holding him even more effectively to account because you are more empowered in terms of knowledge. So I think in terms of performance by Parliament, they are raising their performance in discharge of their legislative mandate of overseeing the budget. I mean, that's how they can put it. That's what Parliament is doing.
I say the problem that we have is the enemy that we have, all of us, is one, is time, you know. Mm-hmm. And this, the issue that you're raising is very interesting. I think it's how I wish that we could have sufficient time to look at this. We are about to establish the bill, I mean, that act that we have just given you copies of, is an act that establishes the budget office. Number two, in that act, some of the sections are saying with us. The executive goes and do their own thing. We're not involved. But where the what we call Parliament comes in, it's once the budget has been tabled now, you're in the appropriation bill. So that when each department comes, you'll see in that act, when each department comes, it will prevent its strategic goals. But before we come to that, for now, during this month of October, November, when we're dealing with the adjustments, that act allows Parliament to amend. The name of the act is Money Bill Amendment Procedure. So it allows Parliament to amend now the budget for the following year. I think the reason for that, but there are procedures like the Finance Committee that side must first approve the macro economic framework, must first approve the micro the fiscal framework. Once that is done, then people can amend. We invite as well the economists, we invite everyone to come. We do that. So what happens when the budget, the actual budget is tabled in February? It's only then now the law that allows. It doesn't allow us then at that stage to amend the budget as a whole. But what it allows is that the portfolio committee of a department will look at the department and find, and when it looks when it is examining that particular budget, departmental budget, it will say, look, your core function, for instance, is education, but your budget is not addressing that in that way. Would like you to shift this to this, the emphasis it is on those kind of issues. Otherwise, can shift around now or put more emphasis on certain programs with this agreed fiscal framework. Because the fiscal framework has been passed. Remember in America, I think in 1 year, I can't remember, it happened as well in Nigeria, where a parliament amended, wanted to amend the framework. There was no agreement between parliament and. But the colleague, as I said, that, you know, the enemy is really time. I see that you're now supposed to be making the scope now.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I don't know, maybe you can say your last words, comments that you would like to make.
Nothing to share, that I'm going to thank you for the time that you spent with us in the voluntary community. And you might also be informed that we plan to motivate the formation of the chairperson of the budget and finance committee.
Fatwater.
Those are those that have left behind by my colleague.
Now
so that we can have a platform where we share. Some of these chairs. I'm happy that you chairs do acknowledge that we have raised interesting issues and that probably in the interest of time, if we had enough time, we would have defended this way on and on and on and shared the experience or the vision that we do that. And one hopes that that platform it will create and give us that opportunity. Once again, chairperson and all of the members, we really want to appreciate and thank you very much for the time that you have afforded us as a committee. We hope that the opportunities will come around and also probably when you want to put in terms of making sure that this is going to look at the young brother, what he's doing there, you're most welcome to come.
Now, thank you very much, Chairperson. And you know, your last comment really is very interesting, the one of Subject Chairperson Budget Parliamentary Committee, so that we can learn from one another. You see, parliamentary process is a very unique, difficult situation, complex situation, let me say. It doesn't matter how long you have been there, but always, every day, you can learn new things from your colleagues. So even this engagement, really, we found it very much enriching. It's a pity that I think the time did not allow. And when are you leaving South Africa?
We live in Dubai.
We live in
Dubai. South Africa. We came down to Jordan.
Okay.
Yes. And we will be leaving tomorrow.
Okay. We wish you all the best in Parliament. And it's a pity that this afternoon, I think the committee will be passing the the adjustment will be debating, and I see you live in a little bit area, but we'll be starting that. I wish you all the best in Parliament. I will try to follow up on what you say,
yeah,
so that between you and I,
yeah,
we can start the ball rolling, yes, you know. Yes.
Chairman, unfortunately, I don't have my parliamentary card, but
thank you. I think there was really a communication breakdown between the speaker's office and our office, because I'm not sure, we're not briefed that we would have visitors this morning. I mean, I have with informed committees. My understanding, so what I'm saying, correct me.
I know who the is.
Oh, she says maybe I've forgotten. Maybe I've forgotten. I thought that they would say, all I heard about lunch or I forgot. But thank you very much. Unless that I forgot, what I would have informed at least, I would have alerted the members that that's what expect this visitor this morning. But coming back to the issue of the report, you know, I thought that we'd be out by 12. I'm not sure what we're going to do about it. But I'm in your hand. Honor, sir?
We'll be out by 12, Tim.
I thought it would be that, but it's already past 11
but
now.
If we move quickly, we can go.
But I'm not sure.
When did the reader open?
We had started with this report. I hope someone will remind us where we were But if not, it's in well, on transfer, no? Yeah. See, the we'll have this report. We'll submit a report to Parliament without even having the opportunity of make a statement or to debate it. Remember, we had said that we want to move to a situation where we're able to report, to debate on this so that we can engage the executive. But what the new speaker is doing, Honorable Swab, I think, I'm not sure if Honorable Swab was here last time, but is that our recommendations now go to the leader of government, even, who is the deputy president, and they make follow up on those things. So our recommendations should really be very clear recommendations in terms of what is it that the recommendation wants to achieve. Yeah, maybe let's leave it there. You want to comment on that one second? Okay. So it means that our recommendation should not just be, should be serious recommendation, but I think the issue of what do we want to do with this quarterly report in future, as well. We write recommendations, it's good, they are taken up by the executive, but there's no proper, what we call, engagement with them. You know, SCOPA yesterday was debating their report. They were saying the executive authority must come to meeting because he's the person who's accountable finally to Parliament, not to the official. I think that was a very interesting debate. And funny enough, there was no... What you say? Sorry? No, I'm saying, no, there was no opposition. All the members of the SCOPA, they were speaking in one voice. The executive must come to SCOPA. So it's not a question of opposition or ANC. They were speaking with one voice. And I think I thought that it was a good thing. Okay.
And I'm asking you to be informed by the pressure of today.
Yeah.
The report that we need to finalize. Should it be finalized as of today? And if it's not going to be a debated point, because on the ECC, basically, it doesn't have to be finalized right now as it is here. Not practical as it is here. We have to reschedule. Maybe we have another meeting that we can focus on this because we're going to go into it. It's not going to be discussed in the meeting.
Okay.
So we don't have that kind of pressure. That will be my suggestion.
I'd second that question.
Well, I'm entirely in your hands on that memo. I'm just in the same way because under pressure. I was saying before you arrived here, if it doesn't fit, if the meeting doesn't fit, I would not have a problem. Because on Tuesday, what we have is we're having a briefing by National Treasury on the first, on the second quarterly report. If the members agree, maybe we could fit Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. No? Yes, because there was no caucuses on Thursday. There are no caucuses now, not
in
caucuses. So we can work on this report on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Well, Togo is reminding ask that on Wednesday we have the remember that we were dealing with procurement, we asked National Treasury to go back and look at the other things. Now there is that meeting what time?
At 9:30.
At 9:30. We could come back here in the afternoon and continue with our work.
Please.
On Wednesday. So in the morning we'll have a joint meeting with the finance committee. Looking at the regulation. Tuesday morning, National Treasury will be with us. So it means that if possible, again, we would have to say what do we do with that report. Because Parliament is rising now. When we come back, it will be also at the end of the third quarter. I mean, time pressures are really what it is against us. Because now, I mean, for me, I worry if I was, I would like Treasury to come to us. I spoke to them about this point of the report coming late. Now it's November. We're still dealing with the first quarterly report. This report should have been out by August. Now in January, would have, if we choose to, have to deal with the second quarter report, something that I'm not very what to call it, in favor of. But we would like to have a situation where the National Treasury keep to time frames as well. Because if you do a proper, now we're working like not very different from scope right now. Honorable Sot?
No, I'm happy with the suggestion.
Sure. Okay.
There will be a next week in any case, because this is what we're working.
No, we're really not under pressure, Honorable Ramaphosa. But thank you very much. I forgot to wish our Zimbabweans reconvening together well. NPC had boycotted they've come together. Oh, no, Ramatana, you don't have the. It's the first time you get a copy. You know, I would like members to get it. Maybe they can get it, but I like this one, you know. I prefer this one, but it's the same article, of course. I don't know when are we going to get a proper booklet, you know. I don't know when it will be going to be. So, we are agreeing.
Yeah, can Toko just send it up, you know, as soon as possible, our program for next week, please?
Yes, maybe. I think that, that's what we need to do. You have everyone's number.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
I'm sorry. No, we can.
No,
we
can.
No.
No, it's a weekend, it's starting a weekend
tonight. Oh, tomorrow. Tomorrow we have caucus.
The program for next week, the end of the year function, we have to issue
some. It's your place.
No. Thomas took it, but. Thomas took it.
No, we see.
Well, colleagues, thank you very much. I'm glad Honorable Masagan will raise the matter. I couldn't raise it. But you are honest enough. In fact, you know, on my side, the meeting now is adjourned. On my side, I wasn't.
I think I know that.